Good morning and welcome to all of you on this another beautiful, beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us with. We're thankful for all of you that are here and we pray for those who are not here, those especially those that are sick. We pray that you will bless them and they'll get well and be back with us soon. And we're thankful to have our visitors with us this morning. And I do ask you to always, as always, open your Bibles and follow along with me, because I don't want you to take my word. I want you to only take the word of God, the Bible. When I was a young boy growing up, I often found myself involved in clashes with my sister. Now, she's 7 years older than I am, and when we were kids, she would be pretty bossy. When my sister would tell me to do something, my answer to her was either no or who died and left you, boss. But on occasion, she would preface her demand by saying, "Mother said." And when Mother said it, it was a different story. It was very important for me to know who was really speaking. If it was my sister, forget it. But if it was my mother, a voice of authority, then I needed to sit up and listen. Just think of how much important it is for us today to know who to listen to when it comes to our eternal salvation. How important it is for us, all of us, to know just who is the voice of authority for us. My friends, the Bible plainly tells us who we are to listen to today. Please turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. This is another announcement from God that his Son, Jesus the Christ, is his spokesman for us in this last age. Now turn to Matthew the 17th chapter, if you would. Matthew chapter 17. And in verse 5 of Matthew 17, when our Lord was transfigured on the mountain and Moses and Elijah appeared with him, we find in verse 5, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Now turn to Matthew 28. Matthew the 28th chapter. At the conclusion of Matthew's gospel in chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus said, All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. While still in his ministry on earth, Jesus said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father." Luke 10 and verse 22. Let's go over now to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and let's read verses 48 and 49 when we get there. Now again, this is Jesus speaking, and he said in verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." Now if you would turn back to John chapter 6, and let's look at verse 63. Concerning these words, Jesus said, verse 63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So, brethren, Jesus is the one today who has the words of life. Now, friends and brethren, I want to ask you, how many times have you heard folks say that if we just keep the Ten Commandments, we'll be fine? If you're a member of the body of Christ, how many times have you heard folks become absolutely indignant When we say that the Ten Commandments do not constitute the law that we're under today, I have, I'm sure you have too. False teachers want to point us to laws that were never ever given to us and that do not govern us. We look to Moses. Why look to Moses when Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me"? So why look to Moses when God had Moses, Elijah, and Jesus and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him"? My friends, you and I are going to answer to Jesus for our actions today. We're going to be judged by his word, not the law of Moses and contained in the Ten Commandments and the 596 other ordinances that were virtually impossible to be kept. Make no mistake about it, the Ten Commandments, because of many people, that's all they know about the Bible. Most people don't know anything except the Ten Commandments. Brethren and friends, the law of Moses, including the Ten Commandments, was given by God to Israel through Moses on Mount Sinai. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 20, and I want you to put a ribbon or a marker or something there. We'll be coming back to it all morning. Exodus chapter 20. Now the Ten Commandments tied the people of Israel to their God, and the first of those Ten Commandments, which, by the way, are all found in Exodus 20, was verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." The Israelites were to recognize that God was one, supremely alone, and was to have absolutely no rival in their worship and affection. But if you and I were to build a graven image and bow down to worship it, we would not be judged by that commandment. It was given to another people in another age. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 with me. 1 Listen, brethren, though we have not violated the law because it is no longer valid, we would still have sinned. Why? Because we have ignored the authority of Jesus, who delivered through the Apostle Paul, and who declared through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6, "But to us there is but one God, the Father of who are all things, and we in him." And I know most of you remember Ephesians 4 and verse 6, which says, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So if we have another God, we are condemned, not by the law of Moses, mind you, but by the law of Christ. Now let's go back to Exodus 20 and look at verse 4. Here we find the second of the Ten Commandments. And it says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." This prohibition was given to Israel after they had left Egypt and a land filled with idolatry. They were heading for a land whose inhabitants were wholly given over to idolatry. This law was again given to bind them to the true God. This law was given to the people who were not under the law of Christ, but were required to submit to the law of Moses. Now, brethren, if you and I make graven images in our homes and bow before them, we will not be judged by the second of the Ten Commandments, because that law was effectively nailed to the cross, according to Colossians 2 and verse 14. Understand, please, in all things we must answer to Jesus Christ, in whom resides all authority today. When you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will be judged by his words, not the law of Moses. Now in 1 John 5 and verse 21, we find it stated, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." It is wrong today to make a graven image and worship it, but not because it was in the Ten Commandments, which God gave to Israel through Moses. It was wrong because Jesus said so. Well, what about the third of the Ten Commandments? Let's look at Exodus 20 and verse 7. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Again, we cannot violate that law because it was given to another people for another time, and we're not under that law. I mentioned Colossians 2 a minute ago, and I want us to turn there and read this. Colossians chapter 2. I'd like to go Colossians chapter 2 and read verses 14 through 17 to show that that law, the law of Moses, is no longer binding today. Paul wrote in verse 14, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." The law was taken away, brethren. It was taken away. When we use the Lord's name in vain, we do not answer to Moses, but we answer to Jesus. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Our Lord plainly said in Matthew 5, verses 34 and 35, Jesus again speaking, he says, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is a city of the great King." The same thing is expressed in James 5 and verse 12. Now this is not talking about swearing in the sense of cursing, but using God's name lightly, like "I swear to God," or "my God," or "good God." And the one that bothers me the worst of all is when they say "the man upstairs." It just goes through me. When I hear all these words, I just cringe. And if you watch television, you'll hear them 100 times a day, believe me. Such should not be done. For whatever comes out of the mouth of a child of God should be truthful. We're under the authority of Jesus, not Moses. Now, the fourth of the Ten Commandments is the one most exploited, I think, by so many today. It is found in Exodus 20 and verse 8. And it says, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." All folks need to realize something. That commandment had not been observed by man before Mount Sinai. Did you know that? Most of the denominations don't know that. How do I know that? Well, because that's what is said in Nehemiah chapter 9, and let's read it. Nehemiah chapter 9. Now, I'll give you time to get there because we don't go to Nehemiah too often. Nehemiah chapter 9. And when we get there, let's read verses 13 and 14. It says, "Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments, and true laws, good statutes, and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant." Now that Sabbath, that Sabbath, brethren, with all of its various laws that went with it, was given to Israel, and Israel only, as a memorial of their freedom from Egyptian bondage. How do I know that? Well, again, that's what the Bible says. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." That was the first time it was mentioned. You remember Colossians 2 and verse 16 that we read a few minutes ago, which said, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath day. You remember that? Well, the Lord Jesus came here to fulfill the law, and he did. Now, in fulfilling the law, he took away the first so that he could establish the second, as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 10:9, which says, he taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Jesus instituted his will and testament, and in the gospel of the Lord, the Sabbath is not commanded. Now, the day Christians come together to perform various acts of worship is Sunday, the first day of the week, as we're doing right now. Now, the fifth of the Ten Commandments is found in Exodus 20 and verse 12. And it says, honor thy father and thy mother. This law also was nailed to the cross. So does that mean that we don't have to honor our parents anymore? No. But we today are not going to be judged by that commandment in the law of Moses. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 with me. Rather, brethren, we must obey the gospel of Christ, and included in that gospel we find in Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 2, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We will not stand before the seat of Moses to be judged. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the sixth commandment is an example of a commandment that was in force even before the law was given to Israel through Moses. And it's found in Exodus 20 and verse 13. And it says, thou shalt not kill. Murder has always been wrong in God's sight. I think of the example of Cain. This law is not peculiar to the Ten Commandments. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew, the fifth chapter, if you would. Matthew chapter 5, in verse 21 and 22. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. We do not answer to Moses, but to Jesus. Here our Lord took a basic law of God and elevated the moral application well beyond what Moses said. It is by the perfect law of liberty, the law of Christ, that we shall be judged. Now, the seventh commandment is found in Exodus 20 and verse 14. And it simply says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Certainly, Israel disobeyed this commandment over and over, and it is still a prevalent sin in our society today. However, it is not a sin today because Moses taught it. It is a sin that because that is what Jesus teaches. And as our Lord did with murder, he elevated the moral application of this law as well. Staying in Matthew the fifth chapter, if you would. Let's read verses 27 and 28. Matthew 5, verse 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. As you can see, Jesus went to the heart of the problem, and for this we will answer to the Lord. In the eighth commandment, God simply said in Exodus 20, verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Forbidding to steal did not have its origin with the law of Moses. That was forbidden long before that, but brethren and friends, we will not be judged by any law prior to the law of Moses, nor will we be judged by the law of Moses. Turn to Ephesians 4 with me, if you would, and we'll look at verse 28. Again, brethren, we must answer to Christ, who stated through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4 and verse 28 these words, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." It is to this law that we must answer when we face Christ on the judgment day, not the law of Moses. And the ninth commandment, found in verse 16 of Exodus 20, says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." But this was to the Jews who followed Moses. We're no longer under that law. It was nailed to the cross. So, is it wrong to bear false witness today? Yes, it's wrong. Why? Because Jesus said so. Staying in Ephesians chapter 4, if you would, we must follow Christ who said through Paul, Ephesians 4 and verse 25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." That is the commandment that will confront us in the last day, not the ninth of the Ten Commandments. And finally, the tenth commandment is concise and to the point. It is found in Exodus 20 and verse 17, and it says, "Thou shalt not covet." You and I are not going to be judged by that law, yet to covet is sin. Why is it a sin? Because Jesus said so. That's why. Turn to Luke chapter 12 with me. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Now, if you would turn quickly to Ephesians 5 and verse 3. Ephesians 5 and verse 3. Paul wrote, "But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." Oh yes, brethren and friends, coveting is wrong today. Not because Moses said so, because Jesus said so. Turn to Revelation, if you would. Go back to Revelation and let's look at verse 20. Chapter 20 and verse 12. Revelation 20 and verse 12. So how are we going to be judged? Verse 12 of Revelation 20 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." According to their works. So, brethren and friends, please understand that God's revelation given to the ancients who were before Moses shall judge those of that period. The Old Testament will be the standard for the Jews who lived and died under it. The New Testament, the Word of God, the Gospel according to the Apostles, will be the standard for those who have lived under it. He will reward all flesh according to their works. And brethren, you and I are going to be judged by the words of Jesus, His will, and His testament, the Gospel. It behooves all to live by it and recognize that it deals with all areas of our lives. If you would come with me to one last passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Now, brethren and friends, I hope this lesson will help us understand that today we're not under the law of Moses, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 21, when he said, "To them that are without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law." The law to Christ. So never forget, brethren, that the gospel is the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25, that it once for all delivered, Jude 3, and it furnishes us completely with all good works, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and it makes available all things that pertain unto life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3, and it makes one complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10. When it was fully revealed and made all previous systems obsolete and void and became absolutely sufficient and fully adequate in and of itself. We read about that in Galatians 1, verses 6 and 7. So I tell you, I ask you, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, the New Testament church, the church of Christ, the church that Jesus built, the church that Jesus died for, why not become one this very morning? To become a member of the Lord's church and to be under His law, the law of Christ. There's some things you need to do. You need to come forward when we sing the invitation song, repent of your sins in your heart. Confess Jesus as the Son of God because He most assuredly is. And then be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Maybe you've become an unfaithful Christian. If you've sinned in a manner that others are aware of, you too need to come forward after repenting to God in your heart. And let us pray with you and pray for you. I beg you, don't leave this auditorium this morning in an unsaved condition. Please, please, take care of it now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.